Part 23, Chapter 8. It was. Minutes after Johnny opened the courier pouch and got a disc on a view screen, he realized that for the first time in all of Cyclo's long and sadistic history, non-Cyclo eyes were looking upon the actual construction of a teleportation transshipment console. Turl, having no models or patterns, was working from scratch. And crazy though he might be, his workmanship was exact. Of course, his own life depended upon its being so. He had already made the console case. He had fitted the rows of buttons, spares from the storerooms, all properly marked, into the panel top. He had made the screw holes which held the top on to the bottom case. Watching the view discs, fascinated, Johnny saw him take a yard-square piece of common black insulating board, the kind that was used to back all electronic assemblies, and fit it into the area between the top panel and the case sides. It was this board, evidently, which would hold the various components of the circuit he would build. He carefully and precisely drilled the holes in this insulating board so it would fit between the top panel and the case and be held in place by the same joining screws. He temporarily fastened down the board in the case and put a smear of powder over it, and then pressed each button so the location where it touched the board was exactly marked. Then he took it all apart again and made more exact marks with a red pencil wherever the powder had been dented. He drilled small holes in each one of these points and put in a metal plug. Now, the buttons of the top panel, when pressed, would come down and touch a metal plug. Turl now turned the insulating board over. The little metal plugs showed on the underside. He marked which was the top and which was the bottom of the board, and really went to work. Scarcely consulting his notes and formulas at all, he began to cover the underside of the board with various electronic components. Resistors, capacitors, tiny amplifiers, relays, and switches. It was actually a rather crude and old-fashioned sort of layout. It seemed to match up to the metal plugs the buttons would hit from above and often connected to it. But there was an oddity. He was putting fuses in places where, if you used the board at all, they would certainly blow. In fact, for every metal plug through the board, there was a fuse that would disconnect it from the circuitry now being built. It looked to Johnny that all you had to do was hit one button on the upper console and a fuse would blow. Dozens of such fuses. In a dumb kind of way, this mysterious circuit he was building made sense. All except these fuses. Why would one put fuses all through a piece of electronic circuitry? Turl neatened up this whole complicated circuit. He color-coded it and polished it. And at last it was complete. It really looked marvelous if one admired all the complexities of an electronic circuit board. It almost made sense. You pushed a top console button and current went here. You pushed another and current would go there. The board was complete. Turl admired it, even took a break and bit off some Kerbango. Then he did the strangest thing imaginable. With a flourish of his paws, he hooked up some leads to a power source, snapped the clips to the terminals of the very artistic board circuit he had just built, and blew all the fuses in it. They went with little glowing pops and smoke puffs. He had just made the whole circuit inoperational. Now, he really got down to work. He pulled over his vast pile of equations and worked out formulas, got out micrometer measuring tools, cleaned up a set of drafting triangles and rulers, sharpened up white marking pens to a hairline point. He turned the board he had just made over to the blank side, made some reference points on it, and for the next 2 days, meticulously consulting his notes, he drew in a circuit. Aside from matching up with the metal plugs for the console buttons, this new circuit had nothing whatever to do with the one he had so laboriously built on the bottom side of the board. He drew in the resistors and amplifiers and capacitors and every other electronic component, all in tiny lines and squiggles and curls. Turl consulted his equations and worksheets and duplicated the measurements with enormous exactitude in white on the board. It was a long and complicated procedure, and it was a very complex circuit that emerged. The console buttons, when pressed, would activate it, if it were composed of wire. He got that finished. Then he dusted the whole drawing with a thin coating of reddish paste. You could see the circuit through it, but when you put something on the paste, like a pencil, it would show that that bit of the circuit had been traced. Turl now got a thin-bladed annealing knife. One end of these knives, by the process of separating molecules through destruction of their cohesion, cut metal. The other end was used to restore the molecular cohesion and sew the metal up. He took the sewing end of the knife and began to trace his circuit with it. Wherever he followed a line, the thin red paste showed he had followed it. Thus, he could keep track of where he had traced and work without any skips. Johnny stared at this activity. Then he rushed out of his viewing room, raced up to one of the compound storerooms, and got a piece of insulating board and an annealing knife. He made a diagonal mark across the board with the sewing end of the knife. He put clips at both ends of his mark and put current through it. The current flowed. By aligning usually insulative molecules in a straight line, one had a path, a wire. He had seen that cyclos, in cutting these boards to size to install circuit breakers, always sawed them. He had just thought knives didn't work on them. True enough, knives were not efficient in cutting them. But by aligning molecules, the insulating board conducted electricity at the points of touch. Johnny, starry-eyed, went back to further view this activity Turl had been engaged upon. It had taken Turl 2 days just to trace that circuit. Finally, he finished. And then Turl took some solvent and a rag and wiped the whole board clean. There was not one visible trace left. But that insulating board now contained all the alignments of a complex circuit. The underside's visible components were a total fake. They weren't ever intended to work. And anybody examining one of these boards would think he had blown its fuses. Scientists of many races had probably spent hundreds of years of time trying to make that false circuit make sense and agree with cyclo math. Turl was doing something in the upper left corner of the board. Unfortunately, he had carelessly dropped a text open in such a position that its cover obscured much of what he was doing. It had something to do with the installation of a switch. It was a switch which would appear in the top panel. All Johnny could see on the discs was that the switch probably had to be changed with every use of the board. Up one firing, down the next, up the next, and so on. The switch was misleadingly labeled dimmer. The component it was attached to was visible enough. If activated by a wrong turn of the switch, that component would send a surge through the board and erase the invisible circuit. Johnny couldn't see what position the switch was rigged to be in at the first firing. Turl now was putting the board together. And Johnny found why loosening the screws which held it all together made the board inoperational. Turl took a large electromagnet and put it around the case. Then, just inside one screw, where it went through the insulating board, he inserted a fuse. Johnny went down and got one. It was a magnet fuse. As long as a current went through it, it stayed whole. The moment a magnetic current was absent, it blew. To remove a console top, one had to put a magnetic field around the console. When the screw was touching the top edge of the console, the magnetic top edge kept a tiny current running forever. The moment that screw was loosened, the magnetic current ceased and the fuse blew. More. When it blew, it activated one of the components just under it and wiped the invisible circuit out of the board. But to take a panel top off, all you had to do was put a magnetic field generator near that screw, and the fuse wouldn't blow. An invisible circuit. Two booby traps to wipe it out. A completely false circuit to distract. And that was the secret of the Cyclos. A sober Johnny made plentiful copies of Turl's circuit. One could simply put it on a piece of insulating board and trace it in. The metal plugs through it activated the invisible circuit. They could duplicate it. All except for one switch. And that was why he was sober. Exactly how it was rigged, he did not know. The position it would have to be in for each sequential firing, he did not know. He reviewed the discs again. No, he could not make it out. He speculated on the possibility of just making several boards and working it out. No, it might do something else, too. He made a full file and plenty of notes. They couldn't make teleportation motors from this, but possibly they could open them and trace the circuit. Maybe. But without that one switch... Johnny knew they would have to go over and seize that console, just to see where Turl set it. It was an appalling risk, and might cost men's lives. He knew. They would have to do it.